Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
Hello, mate.
Good morning, Luke. How are you?
Good. Ryan Hanafee is with us, folks, live on the radio. He is the president of the National Road Freighters Association. What the hell has gone on in your world in the last 7 days? You okay?
Mate, I am okay. Getting a bit late into the night. I've been seriously thinking. We just had a NRFA board meeting earlier tonight, and that'll be one of the points that I wish to raise. The other is that I was up around Rockhampton during the week, and there are times when you make an effort in this industry and you really wonder whether there's value in it, whether things change and whether people listen. And I hadn't been up into that area for quite a long time. You come down through Rocky, down through Dingo. And last time I was up that way, there was a whole heap of little bays along the side of the road.
Yeah.
Barely enough room to put a car in. And yet now they're all signed with big stopping bay signs. They've all been improved. And at the time I complained. I said, why all these little bays here? They're no use to us. They're no value. And hopefully somebody listened and did something. And then I did see that there's a piece out now where finally, after 20 years, South Australia are going to mark the highway coming across from Adelaide into Melbourne with green reflectors.
I think that might have been because
they actually saw somebody put some up recently on the way home from Perth.
And that was you. Rod Hanafee is famous for his green reflectors, actually getting out of his truck and putting them up. Rob, well done. So slow and steady, hey?
Well, you don't know. But if you make the effort, you hope that somewhere down the track it gets rewarded and somebody does something positive. Now, on the other side of that, Luke, I had a bloke ring me during the week. There was a major accident on the Hume Highway during the week. And he complained of one of the drivers being involved, not having his radio on, not listening. He was making aspersions as to the ethnicity of that driver. And he said, oh, you know, we've got to do something about these blokes turning their radios off and not listening. And I said, it's a bit like the caravanners, mate. If the bloke that turns the radio on and he's not real confident or he's not real sure or he speaks slightly differently or he's a bit old and our people get on there and bag him out and abuse him, what are you going to do? You're going to turn the radio off. You don't like that abuse. Mm. So it is how we behave, and it is how, if we really want to make things better, we have to set a standard and we have to do the best we can to help others achieve it.
Rod Hanafee is with us. You've got some thoughts. Is there something that Rod needs to know? Call through right now, 1-333-53. That is the number you can call through right now. I've got some news for you. And I don't know what impact this is going to have on trucks. It's certainly going to have an impact on motorists. But listen to this. This is a story I read in the Courier Mail yesterday. And there are more and more councils who are saying that they are going to have to permanently lower speed limits, Rod. They're going to have to lower speed limits or close roads because they don't want to be sued because of potholes. A council was sued after a motorcyclist hit a pothole and crashed, and the motorcyclist secured a six-figure payout in the court. Subsequently, speed limits could be permanently lowered. Some roads will have to be closed after this landmark case. It was a Goondiwindi motorcyclist, Paula Tate, and was on a group ride when she hit a 100-centimetre-long, 20-centimetre-deep pothole. This pothole, Rod, caused her to be catapulted off her bike. She sued the council for negligence because warning signs erected to indicate the road was unsafe after recent rain had not been properly secured or had fallen over. She had no warning of the pothole. Now, councils are now saying, well, what we'll do is we'll lower speed limits and we'll actually shut down some roads because we can't afford these legal suits. I'm just wondering now, if there are potholes on our roads and a car, a motorcyclist or a truck comes to grief because of an unattended pothole, could that lead to a legal suit? Who would you sue? The state government, and sometimes maybe depending on which road it is, it could be the federal government. Could that lead to the lowering of speed limits so that people aren't sued because of damage caused because of potholes? Your thoughts?
Mate, it's something that has been raised previously, and it is an issue in that if, for example, Queensland, big place, could be a pothole 500 kilometres from the middle of nowhere. Who's going to know about it unless someone reports it? So if you hit that pothole, the authority's not been notified, they can say, well, we didn't know. No one told us about it. I can't look after a million kilometres of road overnight. But if that pothole has been reported and they've done nothing about it, then under duty of care, they become liable because they were aware of the problem and didn't act. And look, it's something I've been doing for many years, ringing authorities and asking them to fix things. Sometimes, look, I could probably list 100 pretty quickly that I've had fixed. And it's funny, that was the other thing that we discussed in our National Road Freighters meeting earlier tonight.
Yeah.
What we want to do, you've heard me, we've been asking for people to join our association and to participate and make an effort to improve the industry. What we're going to do within NRFA is set up a very small group of drivers that run the same highway each night. Now, it is our workplace. It's not recognised as that yet. Part of the problem, as I say, the road authorities don't have staff to look over all of those roads every day, let alone every week or month. But if we report those things to them, you don't expect them to rush out tomorrow and do it. There isn't the money available to do that. But if we report it to them and they were going past it or they're doing some work in that area next week, that might be a pothole that we get fixed.
Yeah.
That might save someone's life.
Okay, here's my question to you. If there are potholes, and potholes happen, especially after rain, a little hole after being hit a million times becomes a big hole. If there are potholes that have been reported that are not fixed, after what amount of time, when that pothole causes an accident causing thousands and thousands of dollars worth of damage, or, God heaven forbid, a life, when is somebody negligent? When does somebody have to take responsibility for that pothole?
As I say...
Do you understand? Because I can see a legal minefield here, because the precedent has been set. A woman on a motorbike has sued a council because of a pothole. And so the council's saying, well, we haven't got the funds, the resources to fix every single pothole. What we'll do is we'll lower the speed limit.
There was a coroner's inquiry in Victoria many years ago. I have a copy of the report. A mate sent it to me. There was an accident involving a truck. Now, you've often seen a road, Luke, where particularly after a lot of wear, you see that really smooth section come up under the tyres. So there's no actual grip. The road becomes very slippery.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as you say, straight after rain, you've had that little bit of an oil build up and it becomes very slippery. Now, mm-hmm. there was a fatality involving a truck. And prior to this accident, a number of transport companies had rang the road authority and complained about it being a hazard. Now, when the coroner's report came down, they said the council was liable because they had had complaints, they had received them, but done nothing about it. And what the Victorian government did was change the law that virtually exempted them from liability. So, yes, it's a quandary.
It is.
One, it's our safety. It's our lives out on the road. The other thing is, if we don't report it, they don't know. So there's got to be somewhere in between. And that's the other thing in our six-point plan, mate. We're asking for a national road standard. That means those things must be built properly. They must be maintained. And it came up in a conversation the other day, mate. There's a section of road I was on only recently. Honestly, in a 1 kilometre section, there would have to be nearly 200 patches.
Yeah.
Now, that's not being done properly, and it's not safe.
133353. If there are too many legal or lawsuits, one of two things will happen. One, they'll fix them, or two, they'll find out a way to avoid any responsibility. And that's what's happening with some of these councils. They're saying, well, we can't fix all the potholes. What we'll do is we'll close down roads with potholes and then we'll lower the speed limits. Anyway, 133353, if you want to talk to Rod Hannaford, we've got a couple of lines open. Rod, we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk to some folks, eh?
Yes, mate.
Are you ready to go?
Absolutely.
Okay, good boy. Rod Hannaford, the president of the National Road Freighters Association. He's here for you folks. You're listening to The Night Shift on Triple M. The Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M network with Luke Boner. We'll catch up with Miss Jess a little bit later on, but Rod Hannaford is with us right now. It's Tuesday morning. Rod is the president of the National Road Freighters Association. We'll take calls in just a second. In the meantime, Rod, if you're out there on the road and you find yourself in a legal pickle, what do you do?
Call Ghostbusters?
I knew you were going to say that.
All right, mate, highway advocate.
How did I know you were going to say that?
Well, it is a very popular thing.
It was.
Of course, they're not going to help you a great deal. They might scare the hell out of you. But highway advocates are a group that are out there to help us. They've been very successful. They've helped a lot of blokes. And, of course, the one thing that we have said is, look, if you think that you're a really clever legal brain, it's like anything, mate. There is always someone that has more knowledge and experience than you do. And a little bit of advice, which the first call for them is free, can be very helpful and set you on, hopefully, a better path. And it's not about cheating something. It's about if you don't believe you've been treated fairly, and it's something that we certainly want to see as an improvement in the way that truckies are treated generally, these blokes can help you if you've found yourself in a situation that needs their expertise.
Yeah, and you don't need a ton of money either. And look, you're right, the first call is free. And if you do take on highway advocates to take your case, there is a repayment program. It's very simple, but you've got to make the call. Don't pay the fine. If you believe you're innocent, if you believe you've been treated badly, once you pay that fine, you're gone, correct?
Yes, you're guilty and it's finished and there's nothing you can
and
do
it's on
about
your record
it
forever.
You've accepted the guilt, yeah. Yes, and look, then all that does is make it harder the next time you get infringed for something. Then they go back and say, well, look at this last one.
Yeah.
You paid that, you must be at fault. So that thing can carry on and do you more harm further down the track.
Yeah. Highwayadvocates.com.au. They're there to help you. And Robert Bell is an ex-truckie. He knows what it's like. Adam Cockayne also joins us every Thursday. He's the legal eagle. Robert Bell is a paralegal. And they want to help you. So if you get a fine, don't put it off. If you think you're losing demerits, don't put it off. If you think you've been treated badly, get help from Highway Advocates. Highwayadvocates.com.au. Greg's online. He wants to talk to you. Rod, g'day, Greg.
Yeah, g'day, Luke. How you going, mate?
I'm absolutely fantastic. Now, Rod Hannaford's on the other line. Say hello.
Hello, Rod. How are you?
Good, thanks, Greg. How are you, mate?
Not too bad. These roads, they reckon they haven't got any money to fix them. That. What do we pay registration for? How much is a truck to register? Say a B double.
Yes.
Good question. Good question.
Two trailers.
Yep.
Now, these people in, like, I'll go on about Victorian roads because they're absolutely shitty. That's really to tell you the truth. Now, the poor people out at Dartmoor, they must feel like second-rate citizens because the roads out there are an absolute disgrace. We actually, where we live, left Mount Gambier, me and a couple of mates, we've actually had to drive with our left-hand wheels of our B-doubles off the road on the side because it's spitting bitumen up. And they've fixed parts of it, but it's still no good. And I found coming from Adelaide, I had to go to Wangaratta. So I took the Mallee Highway. That's the one road, country road, that is good. Even when you get over the border to Victoria, it's still a good road. But the rest of them, going through Hamilton, Warrnambool, you know, they're all the country roads in Victoria are shot. And they're talking about spending $50 billion on a 20-lane freeway from Footscray Road to the Eastlink or whatever.
Yep.
How about putting some money in the country? I know that the cities where all the votes are, they don't give a toss about the Victorian country people. If I lived in Victoria, I wouldn't be voting for either major party. I'd go
for the It is a big network to look after, and it is an asset for every person in Australia. Our road network is. That's why we want a national road standard. And the other thing is, look, mate sent me a text the other day. What are you doing about these potholes? Now, if you hit them, if you find them, you ring the road authority and you make them aware. And it's like anything, mate. If one person rings up, oh, well, it's a pothole. No one really cares. If five people ring up, geez, that must be bad. We better get onto that. We better get a crew to have a look at it. That's what those crews are there for. But the one thing I'll say to every one of you listening is that the person that you ring, and in Victoria it's 131170, in New South Wales it's 131700, the person you ring and talk to is not personally responsible for putting the hole there.
Mm-hmm.
You do not ring them up and abuse them and say, this is your fault. You ring them up and you say, I'm a road user. I believe this is a safety hazard. I'm reporting it to you so that it can be fixed and hopefully prevent someone having an accident. You've got to understand those people in the middle, they didn't put it there.
No.
They don't come up with the money. You've got to treat them fairly, the same as you expect anybody else. Because if you ring up and go off your head, then that's not going to help us and it's not going to get the problem solved.
Right, and talking about accidents, I'm a member of a motorcycle club. It's the Veterans Motorcycle Club, and we're coming back from a ride to Tasmania, and about 28K out of Horsham, east of Horsham, near the Galton Park and Bay, there was a pothole in the road.
Yep.
Now, one of my mates, he's lost his front end in this pothole, and he's gone. He's broke his leg. His mate behind him has gone straight over the top. He's airborne. Mm. He's come down. We've got two Harley Davidsons written off, and two of our mates are in hospital. Now, I believe that the Horsham, whatever council it is around there that looks after, whoever it is that looks after that highway out there, paid for two new Harleys and all the medical bills and the hospital bills. But about 3.5-4 years ago, the Victorian Minister for Transport was on the ABC talking about it. He says, yes, we know some of our roads are in terrible shape and that, and we've got a plan. We've got a plan to fix. And he got hounded and hounded. What's your plan? What's the plan? And in the end, he said, oh, we're going to lower the speed limits on all of them.
There you are.
That doesn't fix a thing.
There you are, Rod. That's why I brought it up. And that's what's going to happen. Greg, very good point. The other point that Greg made at the very beginning, Rod, is what about registration? How much does it cost to register a truck? It's a fortune.
So
where's that money going? Where does the fuel excise money go?
Well, that's it. It's supposed to go back into the roads, but unfortunately much of it gets siphoned off into consolidated revenue. And the other thing is, mate, if someone had rang and reported that pothole when they first saw it, and because the trucks are on the road and we know the road, we're up and down that road each night or each week, if we had reported it, perhaps that accident wouldn't have happened. And that's what I'm saying. It is better to report it and hope to get it fixed than have the accident and come back and complain about it later.
See, there you are. 1-333-353. See, I knew I brought up this topic for a reason, Rod Hanafy. It's an important topic. The time is coming when we'll all be free to roam around. What's going on with the tennis in Victoria? Novak Djokovic. I'll talk about that later this morning. You got the health minister and the Victorian premier saying no unvaccinated tennis players will be allowed into Melbourne. And they'll be going into quarantine. Anyway, the time is coming when we'll be free to roam around and head out and about. You know, I love my power pollen. Rod Hanafy takes his power pollen. How many a day do you take?
I only take two a day.
That's all you need.
And I must admit, I've even got them in the truck with me now.
You take it with you, Rod. You take your nature be with you, because the moment you run out and stop taking it, God, that's when you notice. That's when you notice. So Rod takes his nature be on the road, takes two every day. And all I'm saying is give it a go. Protect your health. Boost your immunity. Increase your vitality. Make the most of your upcoming freedom. Now, Dr. Gillian Webster is an independent immunologist. She is a professor. She's written books on this. She knows the importance of pollen.
Well, it's literally a multivitamin and mineral in one fell swoop and contains all of the diverse vitamins, especially, and antioxidants that each cell in our body, including our immune cells, requires for tip-top function. And any absence of one of these key vitamins and minerals and antioxidants naturally creates a break in the loop, or a sensitive point in our loop of all that we require in every cell of our body.
There she is, Dr. Gillian Webster. She's an independent immunologist that has studied the effects of pollen. That's her major work. And she swears by it. Pollen has nearly every vitamin and mineral needed by mankind or womankind or personkind to stay fit. It has everything, weight for weight, more calcium than milk, has more protein than red meat, weight for weight, has more iron than spinach. It is a superfood from Mother Nature. Give it a go. $29.95, 3 months, $69.95 plus delivery, and you'll get the bonus creamy honey pollen soaps. More energy, a better night's sleep, a boosted immune system. What more do you want? And it all comes naturally. Order online. I swear by it. Powerpollen.com.au. Rod Hanafy's with us. Rod, got an email from Dan who says, I'm a new truck driver and I've got to ask Rod this, please. How do you go to sleep in the back of your truck when you're not tired? The logbook says now is the time I have to sleep, but my mind is racing. I'm charged up. I'm a new driver. Can someone please help me get to sleep when I have to sleep without taking drugs? Rod?
Mate, everybody's different. We've discussed this before. I read, so I listen to audiobooks on the road, but I have a book that when I pull up, I read, and that becomes my trigger.
Yes, now, yes.
They say, you know, you need something that tells you it's sleep. Now, if you're at home, you know, it's 10 o'clock and you turn the lights off and you go to bed, and that's your trigger to go to sleep.
Yes.
And even then, sometimes you lay there awake. There's nothing you can do about that.
I've got to discipline myself. I have to sleep. I try and sleep by 10 o'clock in the morning to wake up at 4. And we have Netflix, we have telly in the bedroom, and it's very, very tempting to put the telly on and watch another episode of Seinfeld or something. And you've got to turn it off and you've got to put your head down and close your eyes. It takes a bit of discipline, but if not, you're up watching television all day.
Yes. Now, deep breathing. I have tried deep breathing and even something like that where he says that he's all fired up. And yes, it's good to be gung-ho and keen. But if you don't manage that sleep, if you don't manage that fatigue, then you're going to get down the road somewhere and be tired and be worse off, or be in a place where you can't get good sleep. And that's why we have hammered on for so long about good rest areas, so that when you get somewhere, you can get good quality sleep. I had to go and buy myself a new pillow yesterday, mate. Now, that's part of it, how you set the truck up and what you have in there to make you comfortable as well.
Yep, have a pillow, have a rug, have whatever it is. But yeah, Rod reads, that's his trigger. But it must be very, very hard, because the logbook says, Dave, now you must sleep 7 hours. And Dave's fired up and is nowhere near ready for sleep. Next thing you know, he's tossed and turned and thought about life for 7 hours, gets in his truck, and then an hour later, he's gone.
Yes, he's down the road tired. And look, that's the thing we've argued with the logbook, is that it's black and white and everybody is different. Every day is different. All we want is suitable flexibility to be able to manage that on a day-to-day basis. And then you need somewhere to be able to do it.
I don't know how you guys do it. Out on the road there, traffic going by, people knocking on your door telling you to move your truck. We remember that?
Yes. Yeah, that's happened before today.
Yeah, 133353. Anyone with any advice for Dave, please feel free to ring through. Sid, good morning.
Morning, how you going?
Good, Rod's there.
Rod, got a question for you. Read an article early over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Apparently there's a scientific study going around that they're going to cut us 8-9 hours work time now in our logbook diary.
Sid, you just broke up at the crucial part there. You read on the weekend what?
That there was an article come out that they've done a scientific study about that we do 12 hours a day now on a logbook. They're going to cut us back to 8-9 hours. And they're going to cut us back to 8-9 hours now, and they're going to make us do 8 hours. They're trying to make us do 8 hours rest on a logbook. Is that true, or is that just a load of rubbish, Rod?
Well, mate, there is currently underway a heavy vehicle national law review. We were given the chance to contribute. A lot of people did, not enough, certainly from my point of view as truck drivers, because we're the ones that are affected most by it. There is discussions on about, at the moment, any person can just rock out on the highway, get a license, and drive for 12 hours. Now, there is no training involved in that. We've discussed how the front of the logbook has 30 pages of instructions in it. There's no wherewithal for that. There's no test that really checks your ability to do the whole job. Yes, you might be able to drive the truck around the block. That doesn't mean you can go out and drive interstate and cart steel or oversize, whatever it might be. So there is quite a lot of discussion about whether allowing just everyone to come in and get 12 hours without any sort of training whatsoever is the right way to do it. Now, at the moment, there is some discussion that they would drop hours back to perhaps 10 hours, and then you would be able to come into the industry at that base level. But if you wanted to work 12 or 14 hours, then you've got to do some fatigue training. And of course, we all have discussed where someone in a car at the moment, they don't get fatigue training, and yet they can get in the car Friday night and drive to Perth. There is no law. There is nothing that says they can't do that. But when they fall asleep and they crash into us, that's no good. So we're waiting to see what is going to come out of that heavy vehicle national law review. And at the moment, there's a fair bit of conjecture. So we're waiting to see what the results are given out, but that's been one possibility raised.
Now, there's a driving shortage now. It has been for 5 or 6 or maybe 10 years. This is not going to help the subject.
No, it's not, mate.
With the driver shortage,
right. Yeah, that's right.
And as an owner, if they cut us hours back to 10 and then force you to stop for 8, and as you say, everybody's different.
Yep.
Now, I stopped at 6 o'clock last night. I got home. I had a shower, tea. I went to bed, woke up at about midnight, and now I'm at the 10-mile corner. Now I'm talking to you because it's going to run out of range.
Yes.
I'm wide awake.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm wide awake.
The last law was 6 hours. So many years ago,
that's exactly
we had
right.
A 6 hour break.
That's exactly right. 6 hours and 6 hours. If you ask anybody, 6 hours worked. Because the minute they brought 7 hours in per a continuous break for 7 hours, and if you did your 5 12-hour days, if you worked your hours out, Rob, which you would have, it puts you home 7 hours later now with that extra hour or 5 hours later now on a Saturday morning, and then you're trying to work to go away on a Sunday again. Now, the old story, it just puts you that far beyond with that extra hour being a 7 hour continuous break.
But again, that was done through a study, and they said, okay, we believe that the minimum required sleep is 6 hours, but if you only stop for 6 hours, you can't get 6 hours sleep. Now, one of our arguments is, well, why? How far have I got to go to bed? I take one step, and I'm in bed. I take one step, and I'm out of bed, ready to go. But
that's
all
right.
Of the experts said, I know, we believe that you need a 7 hour period in which to get your minimum of 6 hours. And that's where that came from. And of course, you know, all of these people that do these studies, and what's happened previously, mate, a lot of those studies were done based on shift workers. And as it is now, if you look at that research, it says that people that change shifts, it takes your body 2 days to acclimatise to a shift change. And what they've done, if the last law change, is where you now have to have these night rests, where in the past, as you say, mate, you'd go and work your 5 or 6 days, you'd be in the truck, you'd have your 1 day at home, you had to have 1 day off in seven, and your body could sort of go, oh, hang on, what are you doing now? We're having 1 day's change. This is all different. But yeah. Then you'd go back to work and it's okay. Now that they've forced you to have these night rests and consecutive night rests, that's enforcing a shift change on you. And then you go back to work again and your body goes, hang on, am I coming or am I going? Yeah. What day is this?
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. Sid, thank you so much for raising those important points. Appreciate it.
No worries at all. Thank you.
Thank you. I hear what he's saying. And I hear what you're saying too. I don't know how you do it. I'd like to hear from anyone that can give us a tip. How to go to sleep when you don't want to sleep. There you go, Rod. There's a question. How do you put yourself to sleep when you don't want to go to sleep? Any ideas, anyone? 1-333-53 is the telephone number. This is The Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M Network. Rod Hanafy is here, but he's only here for a short time. He's got to go to bed. The Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M Network. 1-333-53 is the number. Rod Hanafy with us. He'll be back in just a little while. Rod has a dilemma. He has a question for you all. That's coming up in just a second. And what's your advice to Dave, the brand new trucker? How do you sleep when you're not sleepy? In fact, that's a question for all shift work workers. How the hell do you sleep when you're not sleepy? Have you got a trick? I'd love to hear it. 1-333-53 is the number. Here's the guns for you on Triple M. Yep. Rod Hanafy is with us. He's the president of the National Road Freighters Association. When I started doing these ridiculous hours, I'm into my groove now, Rod. And sometimes I'll have 1 hour of sleep and I'll wake up and I might have a half a cup of tea with Nick and have a chat and then I'll go back to bed. Sometimes I'll sleep all the way through to four. I can't pick it. But I have a little nap on a lounge downstairs at night after I get the program all to bed and ready to go. But I have my routine, and Jesus, I hate anybody ruining my routine. I hate it when I have to go out of my way to do something that gets in the way of that routine because it's so important. Are you a bit like that?
Well, look, man, our hours are so flexible and things change. Like, I got away 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon. I get into Melbourne at 2:30. Now, I don't normally sort of drive that late if I don't have to, but sometimes with your book, with delays and things like that, that's the part of the job that makes it harder, is that you can't get into that schedule. You don't get used to it all the same time. And you've got to be able to cope with that. And look, blokes have different things on how to do it. Like the other thing, of course, that affects it is your food. What you eat has an enormous impact on your ability to manage that fatigue and keep your body healthy and those sorts of things.
Yeah,
as well.
I have so many people writing to me, and Cookie, the boss of Nature Bee, has people going online. And so many of truckies that are saying exactly what you're saying, and they reckon that the Nature Bee helps them sleep better. So I don't know if you've noticed that, but that's what a lot of people are saying. But yes, your nutrition, exercise, because you guys out there on the roads are doing it much tougher than me, because I can really dictate and I have a lot more control over my hours than you do.
And not only that, your food, mate. Like, you can go and cook what you want. Getting access to good food on the road is hard. Carrying it with you in the truck and having it survive, you know, unless you've got a fridge or a cooker or those sorts of things, they all have an impact. And then, of course, it's the cost of living on the road.
How much an hour, Rod Hanafy, how much an hour is the average truckie earn?
Well, see, a lot of them are paid by the kilometre. Look, if you're working around town, you get paid hourly rate. But a lot of the blokes on the highway get paid by the kilometre.
So
depends on what you drive, whether you drive a semi or whether you drive a triple road train. There is a different rate for each of those.
So if all of a sudden you come across, heaven forbid, a bad accident and you're stuck behind the wheel for 5 hours,
yep,
you're not getting paid.
No.
because you're getting paid per kilometre, even though you're behind the wheel and responsible for all that freight and that $450,000 prime Kenworth. Mover.
Yep.
Kenworth.
Yeah. Look, you know, some bosses are different. Some will pay you for those delays if it's out of your control, but the vast majority don't get paid for that, and that's why we complain bitterly about sitting at a distribution centre for 4 or 5
hours. Yes, I get it. I get it. You're at a distribution centre for 4 or 5 hours. You're not getting paid because you're not chewing up kilometres.
No, and they don't care. It's not their time. There's no cost to them for you to sit there.
So that's... Strike me pink. No wonder you're running out of drivers, Rod. Seriously, no wonder you're running out of drivers. Robert Bell from Highway Advocates said on air last week, I'll find you the quote. He said he drove for over 20 years. And the reason he's getting his law degree is because he doesn't want to be a truckie anymore.
Yes.
Wow. Paul, good morning. Thanks for ringing through.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Good, Paul. What did you want to say?
The young fella that's trying to get to sleep. I was the same as him, young and all ready to go. What I actually did to train myself was turn my ice pack on, and I got an app on my iPad, and I have a thunderstorm in my truck every time I go to bed.
Rod?
Yeah, well, of course, there's the mood music, and you've got to be careful what you listen to at the right time in the truck. But dude, that's an interesting one, mate, and obviously it works for you. Good luck. Well done.
And, yeah, I did shift work, and then, as you know, Rod, one day you're driving all day, the next day it's all night, and it works for me, so it might work for him.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, that is fantastic, mate. How old are you?
I'm 36.
How long have you been driving?
Professionally, 6 years.
Paul, why are we running out of truck drivers? I think I have a much better insight into it now. Why do you think we're running out of truck drivers? Why are truckies dropping out and people aren't lining up to get in? Because what concerns me, Rod and Paul, is if we run out of Aussies who want to be truckies, we're going to import them from overseas, correct?
Yep.
Well, we already are doing that, yes. And the problem with that is that they need to be trained to the same standard. We don't mind them coming here. And then look, that comment during that accident, the bloke said, you know, those blokes should have a radio on. But if you get abused, are you going to listen to that? No. So we have to make sure that they get included because they're out here, they're doing the same job as us. And we don't begrudge anybody the lifestyle. We know how hard it is on families. As you say, Luke, the future is, and when they get autonomous trucks, good luck. But geez, I think we're a few years off that in Australia yet.
Yeah. Look, Rod, I've got to take another break. I will let you get to sleep. I know you need to get to sleep, but I've got to take a break because you have something important you want our listeners to think about tonight and for the rest of the week. So, Rod, just stay there, okay?
Yep.
Okay. There's plenty of people online with great ideas on how to sleep when you just don't want to sleep. I'm keen to hear your thoughts. 133353. Rod Hanafy's back after this. Sally, who's a regular caller into the night shift, she's also a truckie. She's a truckette. She said that Sally reads 50 Shades of Grey when she's trying to get off to sleep. What? She wants to know, do you want to borrow it after her?
I've actually read 5 of those, mate, but I don't think that's the ideal thing to get.
Yeah, it doesn't get you off to sleep. That doesn't get you off to sleep. 133353 is the telephone number. Rod, I've got to let you go. Where are you now? Where are you parking for the night?
Mate, I'm just leaving Tamingley and I'm heading back to Dubbo.
Hang on. Tamingley, where's that?
Tamingley. It's a little village just south of Dubbo.
Never heard of it, and I know that area.
There you go. Yes, it's the first village south of Dubbo, mate, about 25K south.
I know the first village east of Dubbo is Geary.
Yes.
How am I going?
Oh, well, you're about the same distance out nearly, but just facing the wrong direction.
Okay.
Go south towards Parks.
I know Geary, but I never went to Dubbo from that direction. I always came from the other direction. Rod Hanafy.
South. Yep.
Yeah. Rod Hanafy. Your tip of the week or your question for our truckies, something to think about. What's your dilemma?
Okay, then. We spoke about roads and potholes. How do we solve that? Do we get more blokes to ring in? would blokes consider joining the National Road Freighters and being part of a highway group so that we can consolidate a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of blokes that use that road every day that will ring into a road authority and put in a complaint, because one is not enough. You've got to do it genuine. And is it something that we can all do to make the road safer? But how do we do it best?
That's the question. You might want to ring in with some thoughts. You might want to email us. I'll forward your emails on to Rod. Rod, what is the National Road Freighters Association?
It's a group that started about 10 or 11 years ago now. It was mainly owner drivers. It came about because of one of the national stoppages. And it's a group of grassroots blokes. None of us get paid. As I say, we had a board meeting earlier tonight, and it's the only group that is solely made up of working truck drivers and those in the industry with the aim of improving the lot of all drivers out on the road, representing us to governments, and trying to get heard and get better conditions for everybody out here.
Repeat again your six-point plan.
Well, the first one at the moment with COVID, of course, is seven-day testing instead of the three. Now, most of the states have achieved that. We want one national freight permit and no changes to those permits without 2 weeks consultation with industry. We want a moratorium on fines that are not safety-related. We need a fair go out on the highway. We want a national road standard, as we've discussed, with all these holes, and a national rest area strategy. And we will be doing something about those delays at DCs into the future.
I just cannot see how, if a truckie or a truck person, a truckette or a truckie, is paid per kilometre, how it's fair that you could be sitting for 6 or 7 hours at an accident or 6 hours at a DC, a distribution centre, and while you're sitting there in a queue that is not your fault, you're not getting paid, and yet it's time that you're awake, behind a wheel, responsible for expensive freight and expensive truck. It's time away from your family, and you wonder why people are leaving the truckie industry. You wonder why. Folks, 133353 if you want to add to the conversation. Rod Hanafy, I will let you go. Go and get some. Well, you're nearly home. You'd be only 10 minutes from home now, wouldn't you?
About 15, yeah. 15 yeah. or 20. Yeah, but I'm going there, go to bed, and then I've got to be in Toowoomba on Wednesday morning.
Jesus. So, I mean, Wednesday morning?
Yes.
It's Tuesday now.
That's right.
So what?
I'll go back to the yard. I'll go to bed. Get a couple of minor repairs done, unload, reload, get away tomorrow afternoon, sitting in Toowoomba on Wednesday morning.
How much sleep? So when you get home in 15 minutes, let's call it half an hour. When you get home, when you walk through the door, what you'll have a shower?
No, I'm in the truck. I'm still in the truck tonight. So
you're not sleeping in your own bed in Dubbo tonight?
No. I'll get kicked out, mate, if I go home and get him out of bed at this time of morning. Then I'm going to go back to work anyway. So while I was waiting for you, I cleaned the teeth. I've got everything done. I'll wipe my face down, and I'll go take that 2 steps into bed.
What a life. What an amazing life. Thank you, Rod. Thank you, mate.
Cheers, mate. Safe travelling to all.
Lock in next Tuesday, okay?
Absolutely.
Rod Hanafy, the president of the National Road Freighters Association. Jesus. 133353. Is your clothesline looking old and shabby? We got a brand new one, the Hills Hoist. This is the famous Aussie Hills Hoist, one of the greatest inventions, one of Australia's greatest inventions. And the Hills Hoist name lives on, the tradition lives on, and the quality lives on. You can get yourself a brand new Hills Hoist fully installed by Aussie Hoists. You can get one wall hung. You can get a fold-down model all the way up to the original galvanized Hills Hoist. Starting at just $249, they got one to suit every home. And this month, here on The Night Shift, my listeners are getting free installation when you purchase Hills Hoists, the Hills Clothesline. Free installation, but this is for my listeners only. Plus, the first 20 callers will get a 10-pack of the Hills Premium Pegs. That's free. So with either a 10-year or a lifetime warranty, you can buy with confidence. And don't forget to ask them about their easy-turn garden taps. I've told you about them. They are European-made, easy to use, and they deliver up to 50% more water flow, and they never leak. Usually $299 each, but for my listeners, only $149 fully installed. If you go to aussiehoists.com.au, let yourself be known. aussiehoists.com.au or ring 1-300-092-862. Leave a message, but make sure you said heard it with Luke on the night shift on Triple M. 1-300-092-862. aussiehoists.com.au.
Around Australia on the Triple M network. This is the Night Shift with Luke Burner. The Night Shift.
All those callers on hold, I look forward to talking to each and every one of you. I'll get to you shortly. Don't go away. If you'd like to email us, if you can't get through, nightshift@triplem.com.au. Love your emails. Or follow us on Facebook and download the listener app so you can get involved in our podcast, The Night Shift, around Australia, Triple M.